This week on the Droids, it's time to fly. Episode 3 of Ahsoka is here. We're here to talk all about it and what it means for the next steps in returning Ezra and Thrawn to the main story. All that and more on the Droids.
Did you hear that?
These are the droids you're looking for. These are the droids you're looking for.
I'm no one.
It's always a bigger fish.
Hello there.
Rebellion's built on hope.
We are a droid here.
Welcome back to the Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. Alongside Ryan, I am Mike. And Ryan, I have to ask you right off the bat, is this pod going to be longer than the runtime of episode 3 of Ahsoka?
It moved. Let's see. It was a half hour, right?
It was, but you know, it's 36 minutes. But the credits, I'd say, are at least 5 because they've got
all the standard translation credits.
But they've got all the translations and the languages. So it's a good maybe pushing 31, if that.
Well, I mean, we'll see. We have a hard out. It's going to be a photo finish, as they say.
Well, Ryan, I think it was nice to, you know, anytime that on a weekly basis that we're watching Star Wars, yeah. I think in my head, I'm like, I can't believe I'm watching new Star Wars. And I can't believe I'm watching new Star Wars, like just at the end of the day on my couch with no fanfare. It's the nature of doing serialized shows like this. Not everything is going to have the buildup of lining up outside like we did for the prequels. Or, yes. You know, going to any of the special editions and making a big deal out of it or getting excited for the sequels.
Sure.
Like, it's just sort of funny, the not mundanity of it, but just like the day-to-day of, all right, I'm watching
There's
Star Wars
There's a casualness
again.
About it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is odd. That's so strange. I was thinking about it this episode as well. And it's, you know, I guess for people who grew up with the cartoons, there was that.
Oh,
you know,
that's fair. Yeah, that's
so
a good point.
That wasn't as much as an event. Well, maybe it was. You know, I mean, I think they were on Friday nights, I think, Clone Wars. Mm-hmm. So that's like a fun thing to do. Mm-hmm. I think the fact, I love that they're releasing these in the evening now.
Yes. Oh, it's
in a watchable
it's a world
time
difference.
In the evening, I should say, yes. For people in their 30s. I from a greater sense of the industry, I hate that they bamboozled everybody into buying different streaming services, and now we're just in a linear format where we pay everybody mm-hmm. instead of one company. But
it's going real well for them. They've, you know, everything's yeah. ship shape.
Yeah, yeah. I love all these canceled series that they shot completely, and but I do really like the coziness of. It being, you know, oh, it's Tuesday night. We're watching yeah. Ahsoka. That's the appointment television. It feels a little different than appointment television at 7 a.m. on a Wednesday, you know, or whatever. and I understand there may be people out there listening that said, hey, man, I used to stay up until midnight. That's cool.
Yeah.
Hey, I used to stay up until midnight sometimes, too.
Yeah.
But not anymore.
Long ago.
Yeah.
There's that fun to it as well. I loved midnight showings of movies when midnight showings were actually midnight showings, when it was not like 7 p.m., when it was everybody who was there for a midnight showing was the truly so dedicated. I'm not saying that you needed to show your bona fides as a fan, but just somebody yeah. who wanted to see the movies.
Mike's gatekeeping.
Early enough. Yeah, I am gatekeeping.
Saying if it's 11:59, get out of here.
But I loved like sitting in the line, waiting around and being like the yeah. first people to see a movie. And so, you know, being the first people to see a streaming show and then jumping on social media, that's fun. Again, not something I can do anymore. But it's yeah. a fun thing to do. But I also like what you're talking about. It's like the vibe to having appointment television, to having a show that you're coming back from at the end of the day, being like, ah, oh, yes, it's Tuesday. I'm watching Ahsoka. I would have felt that with Andor. If Andor was
yes.
in the evenings in the fall and I watched it every evening throughout with the windows
for
open,
sure.
you know, till it got colder, it would have been like my senses would have had a sense memory that went along with watching Andor. And
these are
I guess it did
things.
Anyway. But yeah,
these
are
important
are.
Things for people to think about. Here's the truth. 8 p.m. has more of a feeling than 7 a.m. does.
I absolutely agree because, you know, there's the wake up feeling that you jump into watching something. But then there's the end of the day when you're full in the belly from a nice full yeah. meal. And maybe you're chomping on a nice dessert as you're watching yeah. the episode. Like
maybe you're alone. You're drinking a glass of wine or a nice cup of tea.
Yeah.
Maybe you're with your partner. You're getting some smooch on. And then you say, let's watch Ahsoka. Whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but here, this is interesting. The sense, obviously, sense memory is a huge thing. And it's felt like fall the last few days here in New York. And then mm-hmm. it brings up a lot of things of, oh, like I like watching these movies in the fall.
Blah, blah, blah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And watching something at the end of the day, like like a dish. It brings the flavor of the day with it.
I agree.
You know, so Absolutely. It's like if you're having a good day and you're watching episode 3 of Ahsoka, you go, oh, yeah, that was the end. I remember, like, that was the day that, you know, I don't know, I got accepted to college or, like, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you're having a bad day, you go, oh, that was the day that I, you know, I found out, like, my turtle was sick and blah, blah, blah. And then, but then I watched Ahsoka and it was nice at the end of the day. You know, a nice thing to do before the end of the day. You know, I think the nighttime is a win-win for them.
Ryan, the way I regulated myself, like, in high school was the TV schedule that I came to at home. And it was like, this, sure. All right, I have this I need to get done, or this class, or I'm seeing this person I don't want to see. But at least at the end of the day, I've got, you know, 30 Rock followed by The Office. Well, I guess The Office was when we were in college. But, you know,
when, like, I got a TNT marathon of 2.5 men.
No, but I completely had something.
Yeah.
Which begs the question, and we're getting away from Ahsoka at all, but, like, there are those comfort shows that they just don't make anymore, which is why, if you've seen the news, Netflix has Suits blowing up everywhere. It's Huge. Not it's not the greatest show. It's not bad. It's entertaining, and you want to watch a lot of episodes, and
you
want to
watch
you...
Suits while you're making dinner,
right?
That's a thing. You don't want to watch, and I think this is a great show. You don't want to watch Breaking Bad when you're making dinner.
No,
you want something that's on.
And the streaming services have gone for, you know, the Breaking Bad version of everything most of the time out of the gate. Now there's a lot of, like, shows at different levels that you could say are different than that, but, you know, there's not the networks making Chuck, and Chuck, regardless of its star and some problems there, and other problematic aspects of Chuck. I mean, there were a few.
Where are the 11 seasons of Monk? You know what I mean?
Yeah, we're probably on Peacock.
Where can I watch Royal Pains?
And that's why SVU has a long life, too, even though it's, you know, it's funny. Watching Suits, it felt to me like, if you ever watched Younger, that show, it was like the male version of Younger, because it's all about lying who you are, trying to hide in something, but it's about a profession that men can watch versus, you know, oh, publishing. Well, that's not as what the men are in.
Right, of course. Men wear suits.
Yeah, that's the men are in the suits. But it's like someone thought about it that way. And then you think, it's like, oh, I want to watch a show about the law that isn't necessarily also about the horrible parts of criminality and what
people
do.
Yeah, I mean, like, let's face it. I haven't seen it, but I don't think Suits is really about anything that exists in the world.
Well, we're going to get you into the Suits watch. Well, this is Ryan's.
This is the Gabriel mocked. This is the mocked cast.
The mocked cast. He needs a cast. He hasn't really been working since Suits.
Gabriel mocked is a guy that was in The Spirit, and then he was in 17 seasons of Suits.
Yeah.
And then he cashed out, man.
Hey,
we've been talking about Suits for a long time.
Let's get back to the main point of the show.
Yeah. First, we got some house cleaning. We got, David has made us another drop.
Oh boy. Oh, wow.
I don't know where he's getting audio sources from. I don't know where he's getting audio sources from. So hopefully it falls within the legal limitations of things we can use. But he has sent it, and we appreciate it. He's making a Doughboys tradition a part of the Droids Pod. Doughboys is a podcast for those of you out there who, although I feel like anyone listening to this pod has probably heard of Doughboys.
Probably.
So let's get that played. Thank you, David, for sending it in, and we're going to play the drop right here.
I'm Ryan. I love Natalie Portman. I like a girl.
What are you talking about?
Whoa, that's love.
What happened to her?
Are you an angel?
What happened to her? What happened to her?
I am Queen Amidala.
I love Natalie Portman.
Are you an angel? I love you.
Whoa.
She didn't have herpes.
Whoa. David, you've done it again.
That's a lot of skill. It's a lot of skill.
David is a professional editor, so...
Okay, yeah, then he has prerequisite skills. Yeah.
This isn't some, dare I say, normie coming in.
Yeah, it shows. Shows that he's got those, you know, professional chops.
So thank you, David. Keep it coming.
Thank you.
And so, Ahsoka, time to fly from that.
Well, hang on. I would say next week, though, it's got to be a Suits drop, right?
Let's hope so. Maybe, yeah. Can you do something with that teaser that Suits plays during anything I'm searching for on Netflix that I think, like, it really is an exercise in, like, how to will an entire society into watching something. Because the first time I saw it, I said, Suits is on Netflix? Who watches Suits? You know, like, whatever. And then after the 15th, 16th time, I was going, should we watch Suits?
Of course. But it's funny. They must have had data. They're like, let's push this one. We got to push this one out of here.
There's an algorithm. Like, yeah, this isn't a mistake. Like, this isn't a thing where I'm like, don't they know the Suits thing plays every time I turn this on? Oh, they know.
They know. All right. Time to fly. It's like they fly now.
You see how he recites the law book from memory? Whoa.
Yeah. Ooh, it's amazing. Like, yeah.
They only hire from Harvard. You know,
it gets you in. You're intrigued. I can tell.
Wow.
It made an impact. There's so much noise in media these days, and yet, Ryan, that is right in your brain, and you haven't watched an episode.
I've never watched an episode. Only from this teaser, I know that they only hire from Harvard, and that guy didn't go to law school but can recite the law book from memory.
But is he going to get caught, Ryan? Is he going
to on the run? Oh, God, I got to watch Suits. In.
Is he going to prison?
Oh, my God. Plus, you can get all the Meghan Markle goss.
Ah, yeah. I mean, if you watched that before she became a duchess... It was a cool world to see that all come to be.
Wow.
All right. Speaking of duchesses, no. Ahsoka and Sabine aren't a duchess. Is Sabine a duchess in the Mandalorian culture?
I don't know if there is that.
Well, then there was the Duchess Satine, right? Duchess Satine.
Oh, yeah. So maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, that fits within.
Well, I guess we know more about Suits.
Dave Filoni brings us into episode 3. So far, it seems like he's writing every episode, which is great, but he's got obviously a team with him as well.
Yeah.
But Time to Fly sets us up in, obviously most of our time is in space in this episode. Ryan, what did you take away from this on the shorter side, action heavy, training heavy? A lot of elements where I was like, they're taking an impact or an influence from the original trilogy, and they're going to be like, let's do some of that again.
Yeah.
Blast shield down for training. Of course. Let's get down to the gun and try to take down your first enemy. Kind of my reaction to that was just like, we've done this a few times with characters past the original trilogy that it felt less impactful to me. I mean, I feel like if you're watching it for the first time and she's got the blast shield down, you're like, oh, this is cool. But it just felt like it was like we've rehashed that maybe too many times is what the way I was kind of interpreting those moments.
So when they started, I went like, OK, it's one of these like gunner pilot sequences. Right.
Yeah.
Then. And this is where it turned for me into being a good thing.
Yeah.
Then she kept missing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, this is really interesting because. Yeah. I love these characters. I love Ahsoka. I love Sabine. Sabine, you know, always been like a very competent, like, you know, like unrefined, but, you know, like a force to be reckoned with for no pun intended. She kept missing. And I was like, this is interesting. And then this is where the Filoni difference comes in for me. The way that this weaves thematically and everything that's going on, I thought was really beautiful because there was a moment where... So I was thinking in this episode, I'll cut right to it because we don't have a lot of time.
Yeah.
So much of Star Wars and the way that Filoni works on it as an extension of George, of course, has revealed itself to be about, from the Clone Wars and Rebels to this, has revealed itself to be about the ways that older generations need to allow younger generations to thrive at being who they are.
Uh-huh.
As opposed to fitting them into a rigid system that they think works. You know, it's a huge thing of with the Jedi. Yeah, the Jedi Fall was a rigid system.
Yeah.
And, like, Anakin was, like, forced into it. And, like, perhaps if he had been more cared for on, like, a nuanced state as opposed to being forced into this thing, they would have seen that he was troubled and, like, all of these things and been able to aid him in a better way to be a better version of himself to say the least when it comes to him. But there was this moment with Sabine and Ahsoka where it was like, Ahsoka obviously is kind of this poster child within the Star Wars universe of being like, I don't fit within this system. So like, what does that make me? You know, and we spoke about last week how it's become this thing of like, she is a Jedi. She's defining her own idea of Jedi. And if she's as she's training a Padawan, they'll define that together. But she still has these kind of like, you know, generational things of like, she grew up in the Jedi Temple. This is what it means, blah, 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 blah. And there's this great moment where she's flying Sabine shooting. And it kind of becomes this thing of like, she's like, well, I'm the teacher. I fly and I tell you like what to do. And then it turns where she's saying like, tell me what you need. It's literally a line she says, like, tell me what you need. And it's a very pointed moment where she kind of has to resign herself to like, I need to accept what my student needs so that I can like teach her better. And And there's also this moment where you're like, they should be switched.
Yep.
Like Sabine should be flying. Ahsoka should be shooting or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like of this thing of like, just because we've seen it this way before, where mm-hmm. the elder statesman, whatever, and the like young gun are like paired up that way. It's like Sabine should be the one flying. She's better at it.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And that kind of thing. And then we get into like Ahsoka going outside and it becomes this like, it doesn't resemble anything anymore
yeah.
that we've seen
yeah,
in Star
yeah.
Wars.
Ryan, I appreciate that interpretation. I honestly, that wasn't my takeaway. And then hearing you describe it that way, it's like that nuance does mean something. Like it wasn't something that I was thinking about.
Right. And establishing it as something we've seen before helps kind of
yeah,
underline
that's fair.
It.
That's absolutely fair. And that gives it a lot more weight than I was giving it. Like that's an impressive thing to do. I appreciate that. Yeah.
And that's the Filoni difference, my man.
Well, it's good because it needs it. It's
yeah.
otherwise... You know, I don't think that this show has maybe as much of the juice without him in it. And obviously it's his creation. So but I am still at the point and I don't know. I just am wanting more. It sort of feels like this is Sabine's show rather than Ahsoka's show so far. And I want to get more into what Ahsoka's dealing with and more about her development. And I
right.
think we will. But at the moment, we're still in this. She's there. She's not very emotional. She's not very. There was a smile. There was a smile in this episode.
Right.
And
yeah.
And we're not the only ones, and I haven't been the only one to say that there's a little bit of stoicism in the way this is going. But
right.
I don't look at it as like this isn't a complete thing yet. So I can't sit here and say
right.
that this isn't building to her walls breaking down, which is what I. And I don't mean it as like that she's going to be emotionally breaking down, but I just meant like she's going to potentially show more of herself. And as you said, in contrast to what it was for the Jedi in terms of how she would train, because this is the first time mm-hmm. that she's had an actual full-on Padawan, she's going to know that she needs to treat it differently than what her experience was with Anakin. So I actually think she might look at what is her version of a Jedi and what
right.
her version of the Master and Apprentice could be, and it actually would be something that would be a little bit more, you know, thoughtful and apparently empathetic about what the other person is going through rather than rote training without any involvement, I guess, of her emotional being. That's a little bit of an oversimplification, but I just think there's something that needs to come out of that that could be a little bit more intriguing. And I think we're going to get there because I just don't think Dave Filoni would write a show that has Rosario Dawson as Ahsoka almost always in the background. I mean, she's not in the background, but like, you know what I mean?
I ultimately think that will be the big emotional crux of the show for her, aside from, you know, finding Ezra and like whatever.
Yeah.
But it like the emotional arc, I think, will be if we've seen Ahsoka trying to figure out where Ahsoka fits into everything throughout all
yes.
of her tenure in Star Wars, then I think her figuring out how she fits into being a teacher will be the thing that she's going through here.
Yeah.
Like you said, I think we're at the beginning of it, and it's tough, you know, because these things, because it is streaming, they kind of conceive them as one big thing.
Yeah.
But so the episodic nature of it kind of disappears a little.
Yeah, a little bit. Like it doesn't quite give you that full taste in the mouth that a good episode of Suits does.
Exactly. But actually kind of apropos is that scene that we're talking about from Suits where he reads it from. I imagine that's in the pilot of Suits, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's a hook.
Yeah.
I was talking to Nicole about this when we were watching, I think, the first episode of Ahsoka, which I enjoyed, but I was like, there's no such thing as like a pilot episode anymore.
Yeah, you're right.
Where it was like, we need to make a banger first episode
uh-huh.
because the network is deciding whether we should make more, you know, like that kind of
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
You know, where a lot of times the pilot episode of things were the best. Look at Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip. There was no show after the pilot, but that if you watch that pilot, like that is a good pilot. You know what I mean?
There was one where Nate Corddry was pretty good. You know,
you talking about where
episode.
John Goodman's playing the judge who has to decide if he lets him offer a speeding ticket so he can make the show back in Los Angeles?
Yeah. Oh, I didn't even remember that until you said it.
Yeah. Because yes. Or when Matthew Perry and Bradley Whitford try to negotiate to get his brother released from a terrorist prison. That's a real episode.
As late night showrunners do.
Listen, you think Lorne Michaels hasn't made any calls?
to your larger point, though, of what you're talking about with a hook, it's interesting the way this is made in general. This is not accessible to someone who has no context of Ahsoka, the Star Wars Rebels, Clone Wars.
Right.
It is a little bit difficult because I'm like, why can't we make a show that is accessible that also serves fans? And if it's not going to be accessible, you should call it Rebels, the Ahsoka Stories or something, because I think that that's not fair to someone who's coming in blind. Or if you are going to come in blind, we need the first 20 minutes of the new series to give some context to who everybody is, rather than the expectation that we all already know who they are. I think that's a thing but I think that's the luxury of the streaming era, is that you feel like you can just go into it. But I also, I would like to make new fans and get them to watch Ahsoka and be like, oh, I'll go back and watch the Clone Wars because Ahsoka is so good. And maybe that'll happen, but I'm just feeling it's not open to a new audience.
I'm interested in if anyone out there is watching Ahsoka without having seen Rebels or Clone Wars, really. Write in, let us know if it's.
Yeah.
I don't know. Here's the thing. I think Sabine is the hook.
Well, she is.
And especially if you look at that first episode where it's like, even if you don't know who Sabine is, if you do, it's a deeper connection and you're like, oh, like, cool, like, we're seeing this. But if you don't, she's kind of introduced in this interesting way where she's like speeding away from the ceremony and yada, yeah, yada. Yeah,
that's true.
And then you have that final scene where she fights, oh my God, I forget the, like.
Yeah, Hati, I think.
Yeah, Shin Hati, yes. Yeah. And so like, and I feel like she is like the hook, you know, she is the thing. And I kind of, we haven't gotten into this too much. I think that Natasha Liu Bordiso. Yes.
Yeah, we talked about her a little bit last week. Yeah.
Is just doing awesome work in this.
She's
thing.
Great. She's really
she's
great.
She's so good. Yeah, I mean, and everybody's still good,
pulling
but she's
for
like,
season two of The Society. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God. That show was so good. Yeah. I think she's crushing. So this was like a smaller episode. What do you think of Ahsoka going outside?
Space? I was, before she got outside, I was a little questioning, and then I thought she looked really cool, looked like better than I expected.
And like then, in a fun way though, because she still had like the big helmet for her head.
Yeah, exactly. But it's like, that's like a tough line to kind of play with, and like, is this going to work? But no, it looked really cool. I mean, it's Star Wars, so if you want to get into believability, that's a different conversation. Like, I didn't care about that. No. It was just more fun to kind of watch that play out, but yeah, I think I was just kind of sitting there and I was like, well, I'd like to see some fear in Ahsoka's eyes. I'd like to see some concern in Ahsoka. Like, I'm not feeling worried about anybody because of where this is. It hasn't brought me in that way that like she's out there. I'm like, okay, I kind of know that she's going to figure this out. This isn't going to go poorly. And she doesn't seem to have concern for Sabine. And I just like, I'm not feeling emotions from the characters that I am going to reflect or want to, like, it's just not coming through yet. Maybe for Sabine, there is a little bit more of that because her nervousness of not being capable, that I can relate to and connect with. And as you said, she kind of becomes that audience, you know, factotum in a way that we kind of all lean into. And so I think there's that, but I want to see Ahsoka have that reaction too, which is why I was happy when she showed a little bit of emotion after they got away.
Yeah. I'd like to see her like on her heels a little bit.
Yeah. Well, because she was so much in the clone, and that made her the character that we all cared about, was because she wasn't like the rest of the characters in the Jedi that we saw, because she was totally capable, but she almost always had to be adapting and adjusting and thinking about things differently. And the show hasn't shown us that yet.
Well, if you think about like even like on a larger scale in the last four episodes during the Siege of Mandalore and Clone Wars, when she's talking to Maul.
Yeah.
Before they fight, which is for my money, probably the best scene in Star Wars.
Ooh, wow.
Kind of.
Well, good thing there's a Lego set for it. So I hope you got that.
But like, he's telling her everything. He's telling her all the things we know, right? Yeah. Like where he's like, Anakin's the key to all of this, blah, blah, blah. And she says like, you lie. Mm-hmm. And she's wrong. We know this. She is wrong.
Yeah, she doesn't. Yeah.
But like, there's no reason for her to think, there's no reason for her to know what he's telling her, which I think is this like amazing kind of line to draw with a character, which is she's not incompetent. She didn't like miss something.
No. Yeah.
he's telling her facts and she's like, you're wrong, because based on the information I have as a competent person, like, what you're saying is not correct. And like, it's only dramatic irony that makes it so that we know that she's wrong, but she's never foolish.
Yeah,
that's the thing. It's like,
well, and that's not, yeah, that I don't mean that she's ever like been a fool. And
you know, I'm agreeing with what you're saying, which is that she's fallible, but she's not foolish.
Yeah.
You know, and like, to make someone be on their heels isn't the same as making them weak.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that the stoicism in this that I'm struggling with in the performance, and also with narratively what's going on, is that her reactions aren't interesting yet.
No.
And they may get, I think I'm confident they'll get there.
I am too. I just don't think that Filoni would have wanted to make this show if he didn't have more to do with her than to be the Obi-Wan of the show. Mm-hmm. You know, like that's not why we're doing the Ahsoka show.
Yeah, exactly.
I going back to a little bit to like some of the things, and it's so minor that it doesn't really matter, but like Jason shows up, and that's one of those things that where Rebels fans would be the only ones who are excited about that, and Star Wars fans in general. It was the perfect amount, though, to me, because it was like Hera speaks to Jason. There's a little bit of a moment there and you see it, but you don't get more because I don't want. I actually really had a lot of heart for young Leia because I thought that the performance, I liked the actress a lot, and I liked that a lot. But I'm like, let's not spend more time with another younger character just because they have significance that maybe they'll become a main character in a future iteration of some story.
Right.
That was, to me, the amount that I feel like kind of made sense. I don't know how you felt about that.
Yeah, I thought it was fine. It was like he exists and so we see him. And like, if they want to do more with him, that's cool. But it's not, you know, he's Hera's son, correct?
Yes. And so, and assumed to be Kanan's son.
Kanan's son, right.
Yeah.
So it's like, logistically, it's an interesting thing to show about like Hera, that she's like a military general, I believe, is her rank.
Yes.
And like, they're on this ship, like, you have to assume that her family would be with her, because where else would he be? I understand the military doesn't get to take their family on things, but like, this is like they're showing an entire life here.
Yes.
Or like, parts of an entire life, which is that like, she's like a person who isn't just a general.
Yeah.
She also has a life. She has a son and like all this stuff. And it's like, where would he be? Like, we can't just like act like he doesn't exist.
Yep.
So like, I thought it was a cool thing to put in there.
How, I will ask you, there was a moment where she's speaking with the Senate and talking to, you know, leaders of the New Republic. And Mary Elizabeth Winstead's doing good work there. But I do think like one of her contacts was facing the wrong direction than the other eye.
And that's always going to happen with this stuff. And I think it happens a few times.
Yeah, but I
where was Jimmy Smits?
Yeah, where is Jimmy Smits? However, Mon Mothma, it's Genevieve O'Reilly, right? Is the actress's name.
Yes.
And she's fantastic from Andor. And I've grown such a huge heart for that character, for her as an actress. I love it. And seeing her in a conversation about worrying about another evil rising, which is what this is about, and what we're leading to the First Order somehow coming back, and we know that's what happens in the sequel trilogy, and all of this is the glue that's going to connect everything that we needed. I just was like, that character who had to deal with what she dealt with her daughter in Andor, and everything that we experienced of her hiding and being fearful for herself and her family and the sacrifices that she made, to be back in it again. Like, I get it. The show, it's good. I want Mon Mothma in this. It's cool that she's Chancellor Mothma. That's awesome. But I'm also like, from a deeply emotional, personal level, let this woman rest. Let her not have another thing. And I'm not saying that she shouldn't exist in the universe. And again, I want great actresses. I want them in the show. But I want her to have the win. Like we said when we were talking about Andor, if the end of Andor season 2 isn't a jump forward in time to after the return, the fall of the Death Star, the return of the Jedi, I'm going to be sad, because I'm going to want to see all of those characters react in celebration, given the deep amount of emotional time we've spent with them in the first season of Andor, and hopefully the second season of Andor.
Well, we know one of them definitely doesn't.
Well, yeah, we know that. And Melshi doesn't make it too. That's kind of, I just really love her character. And again, I would watch a show about her, but a show about her in the days of the actual rebellion, rather than like here we go again. And yes, your life, who knows? Where's your daughter now? We'll find out now. But like, well, is your daughter going to be in peril again with her new young family and your grandchildren in the sequel trilogy? I mean, I don't want her to have to deal with this.
If you look at like in real life, right?
Yeah.
If you look at like evil doesn't sleep, and there's people that like take up this solemn duty. Look at like Ruth Bader Ginsburg, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like at a certain time, it would have been nice if she could, if she wanted to, like retire and be like, I'm done fighting evil. But like, I think there is this thing where it's like, if I don't do it, who's gonna?
Yeah.
I'm already in a like for Mon Mothma transitioning from Ruth Bader Ginsburg, but like Mon Mothma, where she's like, I'm in a position of power. Do you know how much it would take for someone else to get into this position? Like, it is now my solemn duty to like continue.
From a story
on.
Standpoint, it makes perfect sense. Like,
I know what you're saying is like, can we just let this? Like, can't she just like be on a beach with a cocktail?
Yeah,
for and the just like enjoying her life.
Who was breaking hearts with just a twitch of her face, like, you know, where you could just see it. It's so devastating. Let her be on, what is it, Neimos? A free Neimos without K2 droids walking around having a cocktail?
Let her be on a rebuilt Scarif, you know?
Yeah, there you go.
She's got, like, her beach throw on.
Ooh. I could, you know, like, let's think about the fashion of Mon Mothma on the beach, because the fashion in Coruscant is one thing. She'd be,
oh my God.
Be yeah, that'd be great.
The amount of throws she would have.
I would
and
watch
like
that.
If for people to know, like a beach throw is like a long, like kind of like roby thing you wear on the beach. It would be like fabulous. Like it's like we're not objectifying Mon Mothma. For
no, that's
like,
not.
Worried.
That's not.
Like she, people would be like, "Who is that?"
You can appreciate good fashion without objectifying someone. I think.
I want to acknowledge like the thing of like of two men talking about like a woman on the beach, that there's like a context there,
of course,
and that's not what we're picturing. And if that's what she wanted to wear, that'd be great too, and she'd look great.
Yeah, of course. I look, we give the context, but not where the conversation came from, but I appreciate that, Ryan.
She'd look unhappy on the beach too, which would be interesting.
We're closing in on the runtime of the episode. Any other thoughts on this before we drop? We didn't talk about Morgan and her hyperspace. Like, we know where they're going. Oh, the Purgles. We have to at least mention Purgles. This is awesome. I love seeing live action Purgles in full form.
There you go. I mean, that's it.
Did you love it?
Loved it. Loved it. And like, I think that the hyperspace ring thing, really cool. Yep. I didn't know that you could have like more hyperspace, you know,
to jump to another galaxy. Have we ever talked?
I also didn't know that we were all in this, that we were, I guess, a galaxy far, far away. I guess it never dawned on me that we were in one.
Well, that's true. I never thought about it either. But have we ever seen anybody go to another galaxy in Star Wars? I don't think so.
I don't know if, I mean, listen, Filoni must have checked in with the Keeper of the Holocron. Like,
yeah,
they always say we're jumping to another system. Immediately what I thought. I said another galaxy. Oh, they're doing that all the time. And then I thought, no, they're always jumping systems. Maybe galaxies. It didn't say a long time ago in galaxies far, far away.
That's fair.
So maybe this is the end game. Maybe the end game of all of this is like a long time ago in another galaxy far, far away.
So this show will be the bookend. Well, the way I'm saying Andor might jump after Return of the Jedi at the ending, this show will jump after the sequel trilogy to set up Rey returning for
her
movie.
It's all building to the Planet of the Apes style thing where someone jumps. When Star Wars eventually runs out of money and jumps the shark, you know, Daisy Ridley in her late 80s gets on a ship, jumps, and they say, what's this planet? And they say, they call it Earth.
And we're landing in Teterboro.
Yes, we're landing. They're going to, birds, we're landing in, we're not going to make it to Teterboro. This is a Sully reference now.
You know what? I still have never seen Sully the movie.
He's going to roll it. That's from Flight.
I do have, speaking of airplanes, I have done this for a long time. At one point when I was watching Rebels, my partner was over my shoulder and she's like, are those space whales? And, you know, bring it back to Purgles. I'm like, yeah, space whales. And, it's amazing and it's wonderful.
They looked great too.
It has been, what, how many years since Rebels? Like probably like 4 or 5 years, 6 years maybe?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
Every time I get on a flight, I send a picture of a shooting star and a whale to say space whales. Oh, every
love
time.
That.
That is what I do. Rebels has been a part of every trip I've ever taken when I'm not on the same plane with my partner. And it's kind of amazing to me because it was just like this one moment where she's like, why is this in this show? I was like, stop it. It's fantastic. It's wonderful.
And they put the money there. They looked awesome. They looked awesome. Yeah.
They look so good. I mean, the special effects in this have really looked spectacular. Yeah, and I think really at some point the ship's where I was like, wow, again, for a 30-minute episode, great. All right. That is going to do it for this edition of The Droids. Back for more Ahsoka next week. Ryan, is it 8 episodes or 6? I think we had this conversation before.
It's 8, good.
I didn't see this as filler. I think this felt like an episode that had purpose. But I'm like wondering still what is going to get us through 8. Are we going to get to Ezra and Thrawn in episode 4?
Like, I want to watch next week.
That's great.
And that's not how the Mandalorian season 3 made me feel. So like,
no, this feels very different within that. All right. That's going to do it for The Droids. You're looking for a Star Wars podcast. We'll be back next week and find out more about our suits pod. That does it. Suits? And a suit?
Gabriel mocked?